Okay, so we're on top your dollar tonight.
So
please run top your dollar. Run top your dollar. 14A, we got around 10 lines down. We're up to Rami Le Abaye, the first word in the line, Rami Le Abaye. So if you remember, in yesterday's daf, we had a Mishnah, and the Mishnah said that if people saw an unmarried woman speaking with someone, which meant either having yichud with him or having relations with him, and they said, what's his status? And she says, nothing to worry about. I'm only fooling around with a yuchas fellow. So we had a machloket whether she's the man. According to Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lezer, she's believed because she's got a cheskes kashra, so we believe what she says. But according to the Tana Rabbi Yeshua, she's not believed because her cheskes kashra is already impaired. So again, so it means that we're going to focus on Rabbi Yeshua. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, if a woman was alone with a man or she had relations with the man, and she says, it was only Miuchas person, and I'm still kosher to marry a Kohen, according to Rabbi Yeshua, we don't believe her, and she cannot marry a Kohen. Where Kosher said she had, you know, relations with maybe, like, say, a Mamzer or a non-Jew or something like that, who's Kahal, that would passel her from marrying a Kohen. So back in the Gemara, we got 10 lines down on Yudelet Amin Aleph yesterday, Yosef. So Rami Le Abaye, now we should be the Rabbah, on the study corrects it to Rabbah. So Abaye poses the following question to Rabbah. And again, Rabbah was his uncle and his Rabbi. He says, Umi Amar Rabbi Yeshua in an Emenet. Did Rabbi Yeshua really say that the woman is not an Emenet, meaning that we don't rely on her Cheskas Kashrus? He says, Uraminhu, and now we're going to pose a contradiction from the following Mishnah of Masechet Eduyot. The Mishnah says, Heid Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira. It means they gave Eidos, it means they're like testifying that this is the Masorah. He says, Al Amanat Isa Shi Shir Lakuna. The Amanat of Isa means though, but it means the Amanat from a Halal, that's Shira Lakuna. Now this is a little complicated, but we'll do first the first Pshat in Rashi, and then we'll do some other Pshatim. So let me say it outside first. So Amanat Isa means her first husband was really a Safek Halal. In other words, let me say the broad brush approach. She's an Almana. Let's give her name Rachel. So Rachel was married to Reuven, who was a Safek Halal. And then she married someone else. And then she married somebody else. One second. Yeah. One thing I didn't say. Safek Almana. Right. I didn't say right. In other words, Rachel was married to Reuven, but it's a question whether she was Nidgarsha or she's an Almana from Reuven. So again, the case is like this. Rachel was married to Reuven, then Reuven threw a get to her. It's a sapek whether the get was good or not. Sapek karoblo, sapek karoblo. If it's close to him, the get's not good. If it's close to her, if it's within his daladamos, not good. Within her daladamos, it is good. So he gave her a get, which was sapek, and then Reuven died. And then Rachel married Aharon the Kohen. So now, if Rachel's a grusha, her offspring is going to be halalim. If she's not a grusha, then it's fine. So I don't know whether she's a grusha or not. And then she marries the Aaron, and she has an offspring Itamar. And then a woman will say Shifra marries Itamar. So it's a question whether Shifra is married to a halal or not. And then, he's definitely a Kohen, but it's whether he's a halal or not. And then Itamar dies. And now she's an Almana. Now Shifra is an Almana from Itamar. So is Shifra kosher to marry a Kohen? If she was married to a Halal, she's not. If he was a Kohen, then she is. So it's a Safek Halal. That's the case that Rashi has. Let's see back in the case of the Gemara. We're 10 lines down on Yudalat Amud Aleph. So he says, Raminu, Hayid Rabbi Yeshua Yehuda ben Mateira al Almanat Isa Shikshir Lakuna. He gave testimony concerning the Almana of Isa means dough, but it means a woman who had like Sveikot, like there's a mixture. Dough was like different ingredients in it. So it's a sapik about her that she's ksheira lekahuna. So here we have the Tana Rabbi Yeshua. So here, in other words, in this case, Shifra marries Itamar. We're going to say that we're going to give primacy to Shifra's cheskes kashrus. We're going to say, in other words, Itamar is a sapik, whether he's a halal or not, and then Itamar dies. But we're going to say that Shifra is kosher to marry a Kohen, according to the Tana Rabbi Yeshua. So that seems to be a stira. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua says, we're not going to be machshiv her chesed kashrus. We're going to say she's going down. But over here, it's the other way. That's the stira. Okay? So he says, so that's the question that Abaye posed to Rabbah. So Amar Le, so Rabbah says back to Abaye, hachi hashta, how can you compare the two cases? The one case with the woman who was either alone with the questionable person in our Mishnah, or in the other case with the woman who married the, you know, the Isa, the Safek Halal. Hachi hashta, hatam isha niseit bodeket. He says over there, Mesechet Eduyot, a woman is getting married. There's a presumption that a woman who gets married is going to check out the whole situation. So it means when Shifra marries Itamar, that we generally, society, our community, we have a safek what Itamar's status is, but it's reasonable to assume that Shifra checked out the whole situation. This is his initial answer. And that Shifra learned that it was not a safek Girushin, that the get was Karov Lo, and she's not a Grusha. She was just the mother was an almana from the first husband, and as a result of that, Itamar is not a halal. He says, so he says, hatam isha niseit bodakat. I'm sorry, hatam isha niseit bodakat niseit. In other words, over there, when a woman is getting married, she checks out the situation before she gets married. Now, I explained it that it's talking about Shifra would check out the situation. Some want to say that it means Shifra's mother-in-law, Rachel, would check out the situation. Remember, Rachel was the mother of Itamar. That Rachel, before she would, what? She, right. But before she would marry Aaron, that she would check out the situation. That's another pshat, different pshat. But so the Gemara says, but Hacha Ishavana Bodaka to Mazana? In other words, over here, and here, you know, is Fern here tonight? Who is Fern? Fern? Yeah, Fern's here. Yeah, Fern, I see, I see the Gemara uses Mazana even in this situation. In other words, here in our Mishnah Masechet Ketubot, we're talking about a woman who's Mazana. She's like, you know, living a loose life. Do we think she's going to like check out the whole Dichas so well? So again, let's just repeat again what we did, and then we'll move forward. So we had what we thought is a stira between our Mishnah and the Mishnah's and Masechet Eduyot. In both Mishnayot, we have the opinion of the Tana Rabbi Yoshua. So in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yoshua says if a woman was either alone with or had relations with a non, you know, somebody, we don't know who, and she says, don't worry, he was miyuchas, I'm kasher to a kuna, Rabbi Yoshua says, nothing to it, we're not believing you, and we have to assume you're pasul the kuna. And in other words, your chesed kashrus is out the door because it's impaired. But nevertheless, we see in the Mishnah Masechet Eduyot where you have a woman that was married to a safek halal, and then he died, and then Rabbi Yeshua says that she could marry a kohen, and we're giving primacy to her cheskes kashrus. So the Gemara says that's the question that Abaye posed to Rabbi. So Rabbi says the two cases are not comparable. In the case of a safek ketubah, he's talking about a woman who's living a loose life. You can't rely on her to check things out. So of course her cheskes kashrus is impaired. Here he's talking about a woman who is going through nisuin. It's reasonable to assume that she checked out. Either it means that Shifra checked out with Itamar before marrying Itamar what the whole story was, or else someone to say that Rachel, her mother-in-law, checked everything out. But that's the distinction. Okay, who's a question that comes closer than anything we did so far? Who? What? Yeah.
Ash.
Okay. All right. Okay, so did you hear that Michael said that Michael was quoting the Rashash, I think that's cited in the Sanctus Gemara, that like within 20 minutes of one night stand, so the woman's not going to check everything out, but if a person's going to marry somebody, you check it out. Yimizana is the case in our Mishnah Masechet Ketubot. A woman is having either relations with a man or is alone with a man outside the bounds of marriage. So she's not going to check it out, okay? All right, let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, so I'm back in the Gemara, midway down the column on Yudalit Amad Aleph, 14a, midway down the column. So I'm a Rava, so Rava says, why was Abaye so concerned with the stira between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yeshua? And Achinam is the stira, and we tried to give an answer to it. But isn't there also a stira with Rabbi Gamliel? And we're going to see what the stira is in a minute. Now, in our Mishnah Masechet Ketubot, Rabbi Gamliel And Reb Lezer said that she was nemenet. We're going to give primacy to her cheskas kashrus. He says, "V'hakatani seifa." We learned the seifa, the end of the Mishnah in Masechet Eduyot. Amar lehen Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel says to Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira, who were the ones that said that Almanat Isa is kshera. He said to them, "Kibalu edutchem. We accept your edus, and we accept what you said that this is your mesora. In Achinam, we accept that she is kasher." Av Almana said, but we can't follow that. Sharei Gazar Rabbi Yochum and Zakai, because Rabbi Yochum and Zakai made a decree, Shaloshi Beitin Al Kach, not to convene a Bezdin to say that she's permitted to marry a Kohen. Shakonim Shomim Lachem L'Rachek Abo Lo L'Karev. Because the Kohenim will only listen when the Bezdin says, you know, don't do it something. If we say you have a hatred to do it, they won't listen. So L'Chora, the way the Arsbel said it, it would undermine the authority of the Bezdin. If we convene the Bezdin, nobody listens to what the Bezdin is saying. So what it means, though, that Rabbi Gamliel is saying that Alman and Isa is prohibited, albeit because of this Bezdin business, but Alman and Isa is prohibited. So here in our Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel says, we accept the Cheskas Kashrus, and maybe she can marry Cohen. Over there, he says not. Nah, that's also a stira. So El Amar Rava, so now we have to have a way to explain both Rabbi Gamliel, and the Gemara is going to have another way to explain Rabbi Yeshua. El Amar Rava, the Rabbi Gamliel is Rabbi Gamliel Kasha. So there's no stira with Rabbi Gamliel. I can distinguish between the two cases. Hatambari hacheshema. In other words, this is reinterpreting the Mishnayot. Our Mishnah is the same. Now when it says hatam, it means here in Masechet Ketubot. In other words, Masechet Ketubot, she makes a tana bari. I know with certainty the man I had relations was miyuchas. That's a tana bari. Hacheshema. Over here, we're going to assume, not like we said before, that a woman checks things out, but she doesn't know what the story is. She can't know with certainty what the status of Itamar, in my example, is. And so, Mela, she can't know with certainty whether she is or is not permissible. The Rabbi Yeshua Namin Lo Kasha. And then, with as far as Rabbi Yeshua is concerned, we're going to explain, again, he's explaining it, once he's explaining it differently, he's going to explain Rabbi Yeshua also differently. We're not going with the idea that we had before, that she checks it out. He says, Rabbi Yeshua, Nami Lo Kasha, there's no sin with Rabbi Yeshua, Hatam, meaning in our Mishnah Masechet Tumud, Tubot, Chad Sveika. There's one Safek. The Safek is he Miuchas or not Miuchas? Hacha Tre Sveike. Here in the Mishnah Masechet Duyo, there are two Sveikot. Now, there's a lot of different Pshatim to how we get two Sveikot. So let us all be patient and I will explain. So Rashi's first Pshat. Now, it means a fake sveika. It means it's a fake sveika. That's the difference. Here's one safek. So Rabbi Shu is going to go machmir. Fake sveika, he's going to be makil. Now, usually fake sveika is one safek is built on the other safek. In other words, if I could have safek aleph, and even if safek aleph, so I have another safek. So the first shot that Rashi has is the fake sveika here is a little different than the normal fake sveika. Rashi's first shot is that, if you remember, my example was that Rachel was married to Reuven. Reuven gives her a divorce that may or may not be valid. Then Reuven dies, at which point Rachel marries Aharon and then has the offspring Itamar. So Itamar might be the son of a Gerusha and a Kohen, in which he's a Halal, or he might be the son of an Almana and a Kohen, in which case he's not a Halal. That's a Safek. So Rashi takes it, that's one Safek with the mother, and then when she has the offspring, that's the second Safek. Not that it's the same as we normally say Sfake Sfeika, but that's the way the Gemara is using Sfake Sfeika. In other words, there's a safek with the mother, and then there's also a safek with the son. So, yeah, in other words, safek with Rachel's status, and then there's a safek with the offspring status. There's two sfeikot, but not one built on the other, two sfeikot. Then Rashi quotes a different, the difficulty with that is it's not sfeik in the way that we normally use sfeikot. Then Rashi has a different shot that he quotes from in the first wide line downstairs, Rabbi Yosef Tov Elam, he says that it means a different case. The case is different than what I said initially. So initially I said Rachel goes through a Safek Gerushin, which is true, but then Rachel remarries within 3 months of Reuven's death. And so I don't know, in other words, so it's two Sveikot. I don't know whether Rachel was a Grusha or not. I don't know if the offspring is from her first husband or the second husband. So here, now I have a double Safek with Itamar. So Itamar is the offspring. So I don't know whether Itamar is the son of Aaron, or maybe he's the son of Reuven, in which I have no problem whatsoever. If he's Reuven's son, he's definitely not a halal, right? Reuven was Yisrael, but he's definitely not a halal. And even assuming that he's Aaron's son, I don't know if it was, she was Megureshet or not. So that's the Sfeik-Sfeika. So that helps me with the Sfeik-Sfeika. Then the Tosfos has a different shot, also that is going to read a Sfeik-Sfeika. Tosfos says it means a little differently. He wants to say like the Isa is not talking about a person. Isa means it's a mixture. So not within a person, but within a group of people, a social group, there's an Isa, a mixture. So he means that within a certain family, it was known that a halal married into the family, but they weren't sure who the halal was. So here I have a Sfeik-Sfeika. She marries this person. I don't know if he was even the Safek person. And even if he was the Safek person, maybe the Safek, I could be told, like Lakula. So that's the Sfeik-Sfeika. Anyway, let's just read the end of the Gemara. Then I'll pause and we'll take questions. Okay, so back in the Gemara. Okay, so now I'm going back to Rabbi Yoshua, eight lines from the bottom. Okay, Rabbi Yoshua, Nami Lokasha. Within Rabbi Yeshua, there's also no contradiction between the two Mishnayot, meaning on our Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua says we don't believe her. In that Mishnah, he says we do believe her. Hatam means here, Ksuba, Chatz Feik. There's only one Safek, so Rabbi Yeshua says that's it. You know, there's no Chesus Kashrus, and there's one Safek going down the hill. Hatatres Feik. But in the Mishnah, in Mesechet Eduyot, there's this Feik Sfeika. So there, he says, I can believe her. In other words, the Safek, in essence, is so remote. It's the Safek Feik Sfeika. That either I don't, according to the again, we have the first shot in Rashi, which is a little harder, but the mother and the Safek, the offspring and the Safek, but the Rav Yosef Tov Elam, that I don't know if he's the son of Aaron, that's one Safek, or he's the son of Reuven. So he might be the son of Reuven, there's no Safek, but even the son of Aaron, I don't know if he's a Chalal or not. That would be the Sfeik Sfeika. Or according to the Bali Tosfot, it's Sfeik Sfeika, because that there was a chala married into the family. I don't know if he's the Safek that married, a Safek chala married into the family. So I don't know if he's if he was the Safek, and even if he was the Safek, I could be told with Kula. It says here, Hakatre Sfeke. Hilchak, the Gemara says, the Rabban Gamliel, now the Gemara is summarizing. The Rabban Gamliel, Ali Mai Bari, the Filbachat Sfeke, Nami Mashir. According to Rabban Gamliel, the Tanas Bari, a certainty, is so strong, it pushes away even one Safek. In other words, we have a Safek, whether she had relations with somebody who's Miuchas or not, but the Tanis Bari trumps it all. And you have to say the Tanis Bari together with Rechessus Kashrut. He says, the Kile Shema, the Tana of Shema is so weak. In other words, the case in the Mishnah Mesechet Eduyot, where she, the wife, doesn't even know what the situation is, according to Rabbi Gamliel, unless he's giving, we said in the Mishnah it was like based on this, as in a Rabbi Yochum and Zakai, but the Gemara is giving a Sfara why Rabbi Gamliel would not say she's kosher over there. He says, the Kile Shema, the claim of Shema, maybe, you know, I was married to a Chalal that's so weak that if it was fake Sfeika, Nami Pasil. Even if it's fake Sfeika, he says it's Pasil. In other words, according to Rabbi Gamliel, the way the Gemara is saying, Tanis Bari is so strong, a Tanis Shema is so schwach that even in a case with Sfeik Sfeika, he loses out. Now the Rabbi Yeshua, now conversely, according to Rabbi Yeshua, Alim Lechat Sfeika, in other words, in our Mishnah, the one Safek is so strong that people Bari Nami Pasil. Even where there's a Bari opposite it, he passes it with one Safek. The Kile Sfeik Sfeika, it means the case with Sfeik Sfeika is so weak that filu b'shema nami machshir. In other words, Sfeik Sfeika, he feels Sfeik Sfeika is so weak that even that her time is a shema, she trumps out with that. Okay, let me just make sure everybody gets in. Somebody, let me make sure he's in. Okay, whoever this is. Okay, now let's just summarize again, and then we'll take questions and move on. So the basic idea, we had a stira between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Masechet Eduyot. We have a double stira, is the way that Rabbah says it. We have a stira within Rabbi Yoshua. Here Rabbi Yoshua says, we don't believe her when she's alone with this man. And over there, Rabbi Yoshua says, we believe her to say that she's kasher, that she's an Amana Isa, and that she's good, and she can marry Kohen. That's Rabbi Yeshua seems to flip over, and Rabbi Gamliel also seems to flip over here. In other words, over there, in other words, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua doesn't hold from the Cheskes Kashrus, and over there, he does hold from it. And here, Rabbi Gamliel in our Mishnah does hold from her Cheskes Kashrus, and says we believe her, and over there, he doesn't. So the Gemara, after a lot of Shakla Batarya, ends up saying that over here in our Mishnah, with Rabbi Gamliel, it's a Tanis Bari and a Cheskes Kashrus. So a Tanis Bari and a Cheskes Kashrus wins the day, according to Rabbi Gamliel. Over there, in the Mishnah, in Masechet Eduyot, it's a Tanat Shema. She can't say with certainty. And Tanat Shema is so weak that even though this is fake Sveika, she loses out. That's according to Rabbi Gamliel. And then according to Rabbi Yeshua, it's the other way around. According to Rabbi Yeshua, here, a Safek is going to push away her Cheskes Kashrus. But a Sveik Sveika is so weak, then I'm going to be Tola with her Cheskes Kashrus. Okay, who's got any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Okay, I'm moving on then. Okay. All right. So we're three lines from the bottom on Yudalit Amud Aleph. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Now we're going to learn a Braisa, and this Braisa is going to relate to the Mishnah we learned earlier from Masechet Eduyot. So again, I'm just repeating myself, but in the Mishnah in Masechet Eduyot, which was 10 lines down on our daf, Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Yehuda ben Matera said, they gave Eidus concerning Amad Isa's Kshera Lakuna. And Amad Isa means the widow of a Safi Halal is Kshera Lakuna. And we ended up saying it's working with Sfeik Sfeika. So Tan Rabban, Ezu Amad Isa, who's the Amad Isa that we just spoke about in the Mishnah before? So I explained the Mishnah based on what Rashi told us, but the Mishnah didn't really spell out who Amad Isa was. And Isa means dough, but it means in dough there's a lot of different ingredients. So it's a mixture. So it means she doesn't know her status, because either it worked out better with, you know, with Rav Yosef Tov Elam, and it's, you know, she doesn't know whether she was married to a halal or not, Safek halal. And according to the Bali Tosfot, like a Safek halal got into the family. So let's take a look back on the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan, Ezu Amanan Isa, Kol She'ein Ba Lo Mishum Am Zerah, Lo Mishum Tinah, Lo Mishum Avdei Melachim. Meaning, any woman who does not have a problem, knows her problem is not that she had relations with a Safek Mamzer or a Safek Natin or a Safek Avdei Melachim. Avdei Melachim, you may recall, we had a Masechet Yevamot. Remember, the Avadim of Shlomo Melech married these Jewish women, but they were non-Jewish men. Or it could be like talking about Hordus. Hordus, you know, is from, you know, Avadim, but it means those are all Pesulim, but that's not the issue. So it means it has to be a Halal. In other words, so what's Aman and Isa is not that you have a problem of Zerus and Tinidu or Abdi Malachim, is a problem maybe is Safek Halal. That would be Aman and Isa. And that's the case that Rabbi Yeshua said that she's permissible. Aman Rabbi Meir, so Meir says, and this is still part of the Braisa, turn the page on the top line on Amud Beis, Aman Rabbi Meir, Shamati, Kol She'enba Achad Mikol Eilu Masin Lakuna. I heard that anybody that doesn't have any of those, we think the enumerated items, can marry a Kohen, and we don't understand what the difference between Rabbi Meir and the Tanakhama is. In other words, according to the Tanakhama, it sounds like if she's a Safek Halal, she can marry. That's Amar Isa. And Rabbi Meir says anybody that's not a Mamzer and, you know, not issue Mamzer, so it sounds like the same thing. Then, and we don't understand this, must be patient. Shimon Elazar Omer Rabbi Meir. So we had one version of Rabbi Meir, and Shimon Elazar says then Rabbi Meir, Bechina Rabbi Shimon Manasseh Omer Kidvarav. Ezu Aman and Isa, there was what's Aman and Isa, now it comes, Kol Shenitma Baba Safek Halal, anybody that a Safek Halal that makes in. It also sounds like the same thing, but then the Tana of the Braisa says, Makuni Sra Mamzerim Shabbeinahem, this sounds like a stira, that the Jewish people recognize the Mamzerim in their midst. In other words, right away, they know the Mamzerim, there's a whole lot of frazz about them. Ve'im HaKuni Halalim Shmein, they don't know the Halalim, that sounds like the Halal would case would be prohibited. So we don't understand this braisa, but the Gemara is going to dice it up now. Okay, so we'll take it down piece by piece. So Amar Mar Esu Hi Amar Isa. So the first opinion of the braisa was who's Amar Isa? The widow of Isa is the doe, but it means the safek halal. We think Esu Hi Amar Isa. Kol She'ein Ba Lo Mishum Mamzerah. She has no problem with Mamzerah. She wasn't involved with anybody. Mamzer Safek Mamzer. Lo Mishum Natinah. She wasn't involved with a Natin as a Givoni, which is also Isurei Kahal. She wasn't involved with an Eved, a non-Jew, or an Eved. So, ha-chalal kasher. So, the Gemara deduces, so if she was involved with somebody who was a safek halal, then she would be kasher to marry a Kohen. So why is it that, in other words, so we think right now that the first opinion, we're focusing on the first opinion of the Braisa. So the first part of the Braisa says, we don't have an issue about Mzeris, we don't have a problem with Kinnon, and we don't have an issue with Avdi Malachim. But we do have a problem with Halal. Halal is good, those other three are bad. So the Gemara says, why is it those other three are the kiss of death? Meaning, if Luyatsur, she was involved with, let's say, Safik Mamzer, then she can't marry Kohen or Naktin or anything else. But Safik Halal, she could. So Mashna Hanach, why are those three the kiss of death? Because they're Duraita, they're from the Torah. But the Gemara says, but Halal Nami Duraita. But the Psul Halal is also from the Torah. So that, we don't understand why the Tana makes a distinction between the different Psulim. Why does the Tana make a distinction between Psul Mamzeris? I'll use Mamzeris as one of the three, but you get the idea. Why does he make a distinction between Psul Mamzeris and a Psul with Halal? Halal, I can go ahead and marry the Kohen, and Mamzeris, I can. Clearly, if she was married to Mamzer Badai or Halal Badai, she cannot marry. But the Safek, the Tana says, Mamzeris, no good, Halal, good. We don't understand that. And then Rashi goes to the Psukim that we had them earlier, teach me the Psul Halal is a din Doraisa. He says, okay, and then he says, but question number two. Amar Rabbi Meir Shamati Kosha'im Ba'achami Kol Eilu Masin LeKuhuna. Rabbi Meir says, I heard that anybody that doesn't have, we think, any one of these enumerated problems can marry in the Kuhuna, Haino Tanakama. That sounds like the same as the first opinion. So the second opinion sounds like the same as, we don't understand the first opinion. The second opinion sounds the same as the first opinion. But two, and question number three, I guess it's going like a progression, you know, we're examining the first opinion, the second opinion, and the third opinion we don't understand. But two, Rishim Lazar Omer, Rishim Rabbi Meir, Bekhan Rishim Nasi Omer, Kitvarav, Be'ezuvi Amar Isa, what's Amar Isa, the amount of the dough, but it means of the Safek that can marry the Kohen, Kol Shenitva Ba Safek Halal. In other words, the Safek Halal. Then Makirin Yisrum Amzir Shebe Nehem, he adds on, the Klai Yisrael recognize the Mamzerim in their midst, so so it sounds like that the Halal would be a problem. In other words, Mamzerim, they all know they're carrying a red flag. I know the Mamzerim more. The Halalim, I don't know, so I got to be careful with the Halalim. That sounds like the Bahami Resha Halal Kasher. But you just said a moment ago that the Halal was Kasher, so it's very, very hard. He says, okay, so now we have to kind of, you know, take apart the Braisa. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Mamzer soveach v'chalal shotek ika benayu." The nafkamina between all three shitot and the brisa will be the case where someone is accused of being a mamzer and he screams out, "I'm not a mamzer." But when he's accused of being a halal, he's silent. He goes quiet. That will be the nafkamina between all three opinions. Tanakama, that the first opinion in the brisa holds, savar kol psul the karulei v'shakik pasul. But it's even though when he mentions three cases, he means all cases, even the halal case. So he means any time that somebody's accused of having a psul, and they say, we think you're pasul kal, and he says nothing, so he's pasul. Bahaki kamar tana kama. This is what the tana kama is saying. Ezu hi amar isa, what's the amar isa? In other words, the amar isa that can marry the kahal could be the case we had, where she's, you know, married to a Safek Halal. She can marry Bekahal. But he says, but it can't be a case, it can't be a case where the husband was accused of being, let's say, a Mamzer, and he was silent. Or he was accused of being a Natin, and he was silent. Or he was accused of being an Eved, and he was silent. So it means, again, in the Braisa, even though the Tanakama just mentioned Mamzerus, Natinot, and Avdei Malachim, he meant anything. He meant Halal as well. Anything that you're accused of and you don't respond to, that's bad news. Let's just see a little Rashi in this, and we'll see where we go. Let's take a look. One second. Yeah. So if you look at the Rashi, around 20 lines above where it gets wide, Kul She'en Ba'lo Sh'tuk Mamzer V'lo Sh'tuk Matinot, became in Talatam B'Shtika, since we see the active principle for the Tanakama is, in other words, the Gemara takes it that if you don't protest, it's an admission, it's a hodah. So he says, "Became talatam b'shtika, who is in the chol shtuke pasul? Anything that you're silent, you're pasul. Lo husrach manoda kulam. The Tana doesn't have to mention all of them. Uveezu echshiru. And so, which is the case that they're machshir her? That's be'eshet safek halal. Shana makirin sveiko. In other words, we know somebody was a safek halal, like in my example where Rachel married Aharon and they had Itamar, and the whole community knows there's a safek halal there. That she shouldn't garsha imo safek. About misha in makirin bo. That if there's somebody we don't know anything about this fellow, the shemana shapost on the top. We hear that people say he's pasul, the shotek, and he's silent in the face of those, you know, accusations, then he's pasul. Then he's pasul. Okay, so that's the Tana Kama. Let me just stop for a minute. Is everybody good with the Tana Kama and the Bryce up till now? Say again what? Wait, say again what? Well, yeah, Kala was not mentioned. He's saying that what the Tana is trying to say is the active principle is one of shtika. So the Tana doesn't have to list every psul kahal. He lists a few, and he wants you to understand that every psul kahal, or every psul, will be the same way. And you should understand that a kalal is the same way. That's the way the Tana Kam is saying. Okay? All right. Now let's see further in the Gemara. Now, okay, so around 20 lines to the bottom, I'm up to the Kamarlei. The Kamarlei Reb Meir, and now Reb Meir, the first Reb Meir, is speaking to the Tana Kama. The Kamarlei Reb Meir, Harachu de Kapasile Bekahal. Reb Meir says, those cases, yeah, you have to distinguish between the cases, because the first three are psuli kahal, meaning if somebody's a mamzer, if somebody's an, you know, a son of an eved, if somebody's a son of a natin, he can never marry within Klal Yisrael. He's stuck. He's up a creek forever. He says, aval shtuk halal kasher. If a person is a halal, he can marry anyone. He can marry anybody in the Jewish community. If it's a halal, he can marry anybody. So he says, "Bahad shatik, you should lo ichbat lei." In other words, like, you're accusing him of being halal. So you know, you like person. I don't care what you say. It doesn't make a difference. You know, I know what the evidence is, but it doesn't make a difference. Become, in other words, even assuming that your argument is correct, I could still marry anybody. So I let you scream and say what you want. So that's the second opinion. Okay, let's go now slowly. So according to the first opinion, if it means any silence in the face of any accusation is an admission of the charge, according to the first opinion, then according to Reb Meir, silence is only an admission where it has a halakhic significance to the person being accused. Those three. But the accusation to be a halal, you know, it doesn't impact on me. I can marry whoever I want, so I don't respond. So it has no impact on my halachic status, according to Reb Meir. Now, the Kamarlei Reb Shimon Elazar, now the third opinion in the Braisa, the Kamarlei Reb Shimon Elazar, Latana Kamarlei Reb Meir. So Reb Shimon Elazar is also quoting Reb Meir, but there's two versions of what Reb Meir says. So the third opinion is saying to the second opinion, Yishmielach the Machshir Reb Meir B'shtika, if you heard that there's a case where Reb Meir is good with somebody being silent, it wasn't the case where somebody was accusing me of halal and he was silent. It was where he's being accused of being a mamzer and he's silent. Behind the shatik, the reason he's silent, savar mamzer kala idle. He holds, in other words, I don't care about your actions of mamzer, because with mamzerus, it's well known in the Jewish community who's a mamzer and who's not a mamzer. And we're using it here in the technical term. So you could scream till today, tomorrow, that I'm a mamzer. Like nobody's going to pay attention to you, because if I was really a mamzer, everybody would know I was a mamzer. He says, aval mamzer v'soveya. But this is the third opinion. If he's accused of being a mamzer, and then he screams, I'm not a mamzer, but then halal v'shotek, and then he's accused of being a halal, and he clams up, he's silent, pasul. Then he's pasul as being a halal. Pasul as being a halal. Behind the ishtik, the fact that he's silent, savar mistai glumakile mikahal. Like, I'm just happy they're not throwing me out of the kahal. Let's just see you in a minute in the Rashi, and then we'll talk in a minute. Now, this is the last narrow line of Rashi. So again, so this is Reb Shimon Elazar saying Tana Kama Reb Meir. Yishmielach v'chulei. If you heard the Reb Meir says one case of silence, it's okay. V'hachi kamar. Ezu amar isa. Kol shenit mabah safek halal. Shenamakim reb sulo. Shaino Safik Grusha. So the case of Haman and Issa, they all agree, is where there's a case that we know there was a Safik Halal, and she married the Safik Halal. That's the Haman and Issa that can theoretically marry Bekahal. Aval Shtuk Halal, but if he's accusing me Halal, Mina Makirin Bo, Pasul Katana Kama. That, the third opinion, agrees with the first opinion, that if he chooses me Halal and he's silent, then he's Pasul. Umiu, right. He says, wait. He says, Pasul. Right. In other words, if he's accused of being halal, right. He's accused of being halal means is right. So if he's accused of being halal, so it means the offspring would be halalim, right? You know, tsunami. He says, Kitanakama. Umiu, Bahapali, Rameir, Atanakama. But the point of dispute between Rameir, this and the Tanakama is, you call Pasil the Shakibe Pasil. The Tanakama holds that any accusation, then silence is the kiss of death. Rameir, Kalal Shatukud Pasil. But according to Rameir, it's only the accusation of Kalal, silence in the face of the accusation of Kalal, you know, puts him in the coffin. The Savar, Mistaid Lomafkit Le Mikahal. He says, you know, let me be quiet, let the sleeping dogs lie. The Mani Soveach, because if I start screaming, I'm not a halal, Yachrizulai, they'll announce Vivada Psuli Beberu, and then my psul will be known with certainty. Yachshavi Makiri Shu Halalim Shbeneim. Klaisel doesn't know who the halalim are. He says, Aval Shtuk Mamzer Kasher. But if he's silent in the face of the accusation that he's the Mamzer, he's still Kasher. The Haidashatik Sabar Kul Yodim Shini Mamzer. Everybody knows something about a Mamzer. The Makiri Shu Mamzer and Shbeneim. Okay, let's just summarize again, and then we'll finish up this again, then we'll take questions, okay? So again, so we have this Braisa, and it comes out at the end that Aman and Issa is the case where, according to all three opinions, is where we know the woman married a Safek Halal. It's known that there was a Safek, and she, according to Rabbi Yeshua, could marry Bekal. That's really off the table. But they each have different opinions, so the Tanakhama holds, if there's any accusation of Mamzerus, of a natin or anything or halal, and silence in the face of that accusation, that's an admission of guilt or status, according to the Tanakhama. Then the second opinion, which is an opinion within Rameir or cites Rameir, he says that is that it's true with the first three. But it's not true. It's not true with the halal, because the halal is not can marry whoever he wants. The halal, it has implications, you know, for his progeny. There would be halal also, but he can marry whoever he wants. But the halal is a man, so the halal it would marry a woman. The fact that he's silent doesn't necessarily mean that he's a halal. That's a second. And then third holds that that there he's accused of being a mamzer, and then he's accused of being a halal, and then he objects to being the accusation of mamzer, silent in the face of the accusation of being halal. So then under those circumstances, he agrees, the third opinion agrees with the Tanakhama, that silence in the face of the accusation of halal will do him in. Silence in the face of accusation of the Mamzer or the other ones won't do him in. Everybody knows who the Mamzerim and the Tinim and the Avadim are in the midst. All right, let me just wrap up to the next Mishnah, and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So now, let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, now, so we're four lines above the Mishnah on Yudal and Amanav, okay? Tani Chada, we learn in one Braisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shtuk Mamzer Kasher. The Tana Rabbi Yossi says silence in the face of an accusation of being a mamzer is still kasher, shtuk halal pasul. But silence in the face of being a halal makes him pasul. And this the Gemara is going to say is the third opinion of the Braisa. We don't know this. We think we have a steer between the Braises, and the Gemara is going to say it's just different opinions in the Braisa. But this is going to be the third opinion in the Braisa. But Tani Idach, we learn a different Braisa, shtuk halal kasher. Silence in the face of an accusation that he's a halal, he's still kasher. Shtuk mamzer pasul. But if he's silent in the face of the accusation of mamzer, he's pasul. And that's going to be the second opinion, right? So the Gemara says, lo kasher. There's no contradiction between the braises. Hatanakama alibid Rameir, that the last brisa is Tanakama Libi Rav Meir, means the first version of Rav Meir, Had Rav Shimon Elazar Libi Rav Meir, and then the first brisa is Rav Shimon Ben Elazar Libi Rav Meir. Okay, so now let me just do a little bit here, and then we'll take some questions, comments, thoughts, and then we'll move on. Okay, now the good. So, oh no, this stuff good. Dalit, 1 second. Sorry. Yeah, Dalit is something that's good. Right. Gee, you know what? This relates to the part that we did yesterday. Okay, let me take questions of what we did just right now, and then I'll read this anyway because I thought it was interesting. Okay, so who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Yeah, because the Brisa, we quoted the Mishnah Masechet Eduyot. That was the stira between our Mishnah and that Mishnah. This Brisa is elaborating on the Mishnah Masechet Eduyot. In other words, this Mishnah, in other words, in the Mishnah Masechet Eduyot, he talks about Amar Issa. And then the Brisa says, what's Amar Issa? So then we ended up explaining what the Eul mean. Okay, who's in on the questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, all right, let me just do this little piece. This relates a little bit to yesterday, but it's in general, it's an interesting idea. So we said that, Halacha follows Rabbi Gamliel, that we believe the woman, but Shmuel said yesterday, you shouldn't pass in the halacha like Rabbi Gamliel, unless most of the people are sharing or in her vicinity. In other words, that she can. So there was once a woman who behaved promiscuously and inquired from Moshe Feinstein whether she was permitted to marry a Cohen. In other words, I mentioned this. It's like, you know, it's a sort of common problem. I guess, you know, depends where everybody's coming from. But, you know, like people in the general society, you know, like they go to college campuses, it's a little bit more, you know, loose and free. So apparently she was a girl and now she wants to marry a Cohen. I don't know who asked, but it got to Ramosha. Ramosha wrote that he felt compelled to respond. So it seems that she would like to do tshuva. An extra effort should be made to allow a person the opportunity to do tshuva. Gadol Kol Kashel Tshuva. Concerning the issue of marrying Cohen, as long as the men with whom she was intimate are fit to marry into polyester, she's permitted to marry Cohen. However, this is true only if the woman has a presumption of trustworthiness, Teskid Kashrut. But if she did not, then it is necessary to be concerned that she may have been intimate with a non-Jew, which would render her unfit to marry a Cohen. So I guess if she's from now, and it sounds like going through a Moshe, and she's a Cheskos, like in the words it sounds like he's using Cheskos Kashrus in terms of like giving honest answers. That's the way it sounds like. In other words, that she's going to answer honestly, it sounds like he's saying you can rely on her. Moshe Sternbach issued a similar ruling to a woman who, while in college, was promiscuous and did tshuva. She came issue with Cohen, and after the issue of her earlier promiscuity was raised, she asserted that she was never intimate with a non-Jew. But Sternbach replied that given this woman's history and the immoral environment of the university campus, her claim that she was never intimate with a non-Jew is not credible. Therefore, he ruled that she's not permitted to marry Cohen. Now, I gotta see Ramosha again. So maybe I misunderstood. But this is true only if the woman had a presumption of hazard. But if she did not, then it's necessary to be concerned she may have been I don't know. With Ramosha, I'm not so clear what he's saying, but Ramosha Sternbach definitely says she can't marry a Cohen. Rabbi Yashiv, on the other hand, writes that those people who are not observant are not permitted to marry Cohen unless their status as being fit to marry a Cohen can be confirmed. If, however, she claims that she was only promiscuous with Jews, or that she was never promiscuous, her assertion is incredible that she married a Cohen. The reason is that there is a dispute whether an unknown family is assumed to be fit to marry into the congregation or not. Although one could argue that concerning people who are not observant, one should certainly assume that they are unfit. Nevertheless, in certain pressing circumstances, her claim that she was only promiscuous with Jews could be accepted. Anyway, the idea is you run into problems with this thing, but all right, I'm going to move on. I don't know. All right, let's take a look further in the Gemara. Okay, I'm going to do the next Mishnah. Everybody with me, we're 8 lines from the bottom on Yudalam base. 14b, 8 lines from the bottom. On Etan, I'm Rabbi Yossi, Ma'asa b'tinoket, Sherdalam alot mayim in a'ayin. It was a young girl. She went to draw water from the spring. Ayin is the same as a mayan, a spring. Benensa, and then she was raped. I'm Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Now the question is, can she marry a Kohen now? Can she marry a Kohen? So if it was a non-Jew that, you know, or a psul kahal, then she can't marry Kohen. If it's a Adam Kasher, she could marry Kohen. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, in Rov Anshayir Masin Lakuna, Reizu Tinasin Lakuna. So Yochanan Nuri says, if most of the people in the town are Kasher people, you know, are Kasher, then she can marry in Lakuna. Okay? So he says, let's see back in the Gemara. So Amalei Rava, the Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, the Amar Kaman. So Rava says, who is Rabbi Yochanan Nuri following? He says, Ika Rabbi Gamliel, if he's following Rabbi Gamliel, remember Rabbi Gamliel says that, you know, if she makes a Tanis Bari and she's got a Cheskes Kashrus. So Rabbi Gamliel says, if you have a woman who had a Cheskes Kashrus, and she says the person was a Kasher person, and they said in the article, you have to assume that this girl makes a Tanis that was a Kosher person. So even most of the people are Psulim, Rabbi Gamliel Machshir. Ik Rabbi Yeshua, Yeshua says, like, we don't believe anything he's got to say. He says, Afil Baruch Sherem Nami Pasio. So why is it that Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says about Rov Anshayir? So Amalei Hachim Rabbi Yomarav. So he said, and this is Rabbi Nachman said, that this is what Rabbi Yehuda said to the Rav. In other words, in Achinami, this Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yeshua. Yeshua holds that normally the girl would be possible to marry Kuna, but here there are extenuating circumstances. The Kol Shel Sipuri Hayamasa. This incident that's related in the Mishnah took place. The Kol Shel Sipuri literally means like the wagons of Sipuri. Sipuri is a town in the Galil. But if you look at Rashi, Rashi says B'yom Hashuk on the day of the market, Shasiyodushia wrote Makom Achir Ba'otsham. They were like, you know, caravans or contingents of people coming from other places. Uchu Rabbi Ami. And back in the Gemara, like Rabbi Ami explains. So Amar Rabbi Ami, that if, in other words, it's going to be that there are two roves. There's Rov Anshayir Akasha Tukuna. In other words, we don't know if the person who raped her was from the town. We don't know if the person who raped her was from this caravan that came into town. But the rove of the people in the town are Ksherim, and the rove of the people in the caravan are Ksherim. So the Gemara then is going to explain, in tomorrow's daf, why those two roves accumulate according to Rabbi Yeshua. But under those circumstances, Rabbi Yeshua holds that one rove would not be enough, but two roves would be enough. He says, and then back in the Gemara on line 3, Uchi Rabbi Yanai, and like Rabbi Yanai says, the Am Rabbi Yanai, the Velet Bekrono Ksheira Lakuna, that if she was the Velet, we think it means in the wagon, she's Sheva Lakuna. So the words is Bikrono Tzakadaita, but I think that she's like, you know, in the wagon. Ella Nivella Bishat Krono Sheva Lakuna. But if she was Nivella during the time of the Krono, then she's Sheva Lakuna. Aval, Pirish Nechad Mitzipuri, Ubaal, Havlat Shtuki. But if it's just, in other words, let's say leave out the Krono, you only know that somebody from Tzipuri raped her. And even though most of the people in Sipori are Ksherim, the Vlad is a Shtuki, I mean, the Vlad would be of questionable status. The Vlad would be of questionable status. He says, now let me just see one thing here. One second. I just want to check one thing. One minute. One second. Right. Okay, so I think we're good. So he says again in the Mishnah, it says Rov Anshayir Masir Lakuna means the majority of the townspeople are fit to have their daughters and widows married into the Kuna. That's what it means. Okay, so any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? No, there's two robes. And we'll clarify tomorrow why the two robes are significant. Okay, let me see. Yeah, all right, let me just read the story and then that'll be it for today. Okay, on today's daf, this is from the Daf Yomi Digest. Everybody look full focus. I need everybody focus. Who, what? What? Okay. What? Okay. On today, it means, in other words, the wagons brought a whole chevra of people came to town to shop, but though they're kosher, mostly kosher. So on today's daf, we find that the Kohanim of the time of Chazal were so from, they would reject a woman that they considered to be prohibited to marry a Kohen, even if one was the Queen of Bezdin, who confirmed that the woman's halakhic acceptability. In other words, the Gemara said that Rabbi Shu says it's Mutar, but then Rabbi Gamliel said we can't follow Rabbi Yeshua because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai directed us not to convene a bezdin to be matir the woman because the kohen wouldn't listen to that bezdin anyway. The kohen only listens to you when it comes to rejecting a candidate, not accepting someone they've already ruled out. This is the opposite of Gdol Yisrael. Our great sages know how to make krumkeit into an excuse to forget the essentials of halakha, most notably those halakha that teach us to be sensitive to the feelings of another Jew. One second. He says, once a certain Yerushalmi Yid, known to be an unusually pious Talmid Chacham, was discovered to uphold a very unusual stringency. He was so frum that he wouldn't even speak to his own wife. That's really frum. At first, the poor woman didn't tell anyone about this habit of her husband's. He says, but eventually it bothered her so much that she revealed her hidden sorrow to her mother. Both women eventually decided to go to Rabbi Shulayb Diskin to tell the Rabbi Yerushalayim for advice. Through Shulayb Diskin, he emigrated from Europe to Yerushalayim, and he lived around 1900. When they told him about the husband, it means like Al Tavesi Sichai Ma'isha, like Chazal teach us you shouldn't spend a lot of time talking to women, and then Chazal teach us that's Be'ishto Kavachom Be'ishto Chavero. Pirkei Avot, right? So Be'ishto Amru Kavachom Be'ishto Chavero. So he's not even talking anything to the wife. When they told him about the husband's behavior, he was very upset. He sent a messenger to this man, requesting the man come to him at the time during the day when the Rav normally took a break for lunch at home. The man arrived at the appointed time, entered the house, and said, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Umori. Rabbi Shulayb ignored him and left him standing there foolishly all the while that the Rav ate his lunch. Understandably, the young man was very embarrassed to be marooned there for the course of the Rav's meal without the slightest bit of attention paid to his presence. I think you know where this is headed. When the Rav finished eating, he said perfunctorily, you may go. The young man immediately understood the lesson. Naturally, he began to speak to his wife at home, as everyone understands is only right and fitting. All right, it means like, don't be too from in certain things. Okay. I think it means not to be marba. Like, marba would mean like to excessively speak. Yeah, but okay. Okay. Okay, we'll help him in a minute. Okay, one second.